Be seated this morning. This morning, if you have your Bibles or if you're using a phone app on your Bible there, I would open up to Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning. And this morning we are doing the boys' dedication for the Snyder family today. And I'm going to be preaching this morning on a topic that I believe, as I've shared in the past, is the greatest downfall in this country, and that is the family. What I mean by that is I think we want to blame politics, or we want to blame economics. We want to blame many, many different things. But the fact of the matter is that as we open our Bibles this morning, the very first thing that we see is, yes, creation. But within that creation, we see that God established family. He created the family. He created the family. Long before he established what we call religion or faith or any of those things. And so it has of great importance. And so when we think about family and we think about that importance of what are we putting in to our family? Are we driving home the fact that our families desperately need God? Are we driving home the fact that our children, and for some in the room, our grandchildren, desperately need God and the values that we find in His Word? I think for the American church, and we discussed that a little bit in Sunday school this morning, but as the American church has evolved, it almost seems like the only time we get the values or the principles of the worship of God is when we are at a building like this. When in fact, God reminds us in Scripture that we are to impress them upon our children every moment of every day God grants us. Is being a parent hard? It is. We love you, children. But listen, it is a difficult task that God gives us, but it is also the greatest task and the most rewarding task that God gives us. Listen, I would be crazy not to stand up here and say and thank God for my family. Dacey and Ryan are sitting there right now going, no, don't go there. But I've looked at my own life. If I were to look in a mirror and outside of Christ, if I didn't have Kathy and Dacey and Ryan, I wouldn't be very much of a person. My family is everything in the world to me. Do we pull each other's hair out sometimes? Yes. Now, me and Kathy never have disagreements, by the way. I mean, we are the perfect couple, okay? Okay, all right. Lightning's going to strike. Let me run over here now. Okay, but anyway, listen. But family is so valuable. And yet, for so many times when we start talking about our principles and our faith and those kinds of things, sometimes, for whatever reason, they sort of get left at the door of our homes. And we miss the opportunity to train up our children, to teach them, to love them in that way. And God has given our children as a gift. Amen. Listen, I think about Hush Puppy. See, I'm going to get all sentimental this morning. Okay, just deal with it, okay? If you don't like it, too bad, okay? I think about Hush Puppy. I think about getting that call. Me and Kathy were living in North Florida, okay, or as some people say, South Alabama. But anyway, we were living in North Florida at the time, and we get the call. Birth mother's in labor. Whew. We hop in that souped-up Honda Civic. I'm kidding. And man, we put the pedal down. We stopped one time between North Florida and Wichita Falls, Texas. And that was to put gas in the car. Get there, and And I'll never forget walking into the hospital, and if I remember right, Daryl was holding Daisy the first time I saw her. Is that right? Kathy's looking at me like, I don't know that, but that's the story I'm going with this morning, okay? My father-in-law holding my hush puppy. Daisy's getting all embarrassed right now, but I think about that, and I think about, man, and look what she's turned into. What happened, God? No, I'm kidding. Daisy is already 11. She'll be 12 this year. Now, some of y'all are sitting there, my kid's 35. Deal with it, okay? But I think, man, what a great gift. I mean, if I didn't have Daisy, I would not know as many dance moves as I do now. I wouldn't know what TikTok or any of that stuff is if it wasn't for that. You know, I know all that stuff. I mean, I'm hip. All right, y'all can laugh at that, okay? I am something. And I think about Daisy, and Ryan's already dealt because he knows I'm going to go to him next. And then I think God has a sense of humor, you know. Me and Kathy, we adopt. We go through all that process, and that is just a process, let me tell you. We go through that process, and then 10 months later, hello, Ryan. I'm glad she didn't go, I've got twins. You know, I don't know, we probably got divorced. I'm just kidding. Okay. And here comes Ryan, little man as I call him, and he is my gift from God. He's my mini-me. He likes to scare people, especially his mama. He likes to do those things, and he is just a silly little guy. That side doesn't always come out here at church. And I think about that, and I think about what a gift and what a blessing that is, and that God chose me to be their dad. Chose me to teach them and to train them up. Do I always do a good job? You can ask them, and they're going to say, not in a million years, okay? But that's the privilege that God has given me. And you can think of your own children this morning and your own grandchildren. And I guarantee you there's not a person in this room that has a child or a grandchild that's not going to brag on them. You hear me? It's not going to build them up. It's not going to say, you know what? Mine is better than yours. Oh, I would. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Mine is better than yours, okay? And so with this privilege and this great opportunity that God gives us, he outlines some things that we as parents and grandparents must be doing, that we should do. And yet, too many times we take these opportunities for granted. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4, I'm going to go over here in some light. Verse 4 through verse 9. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Verse 7 comes the challenge. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. And when you walk along the road, I guess our translation would be when you're driving down the road, but when you lie down, when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now there's a short passage right there that has a very strong implication of what we're supposed to be doing. It not only says teach it, but it says wear it. It says post it. Make it so aware in so many places that they know this is what I believe and this is what I want you to believe. I want to pass this on to you. But too many times what happens in our home, to me is the breakdown in America, is the fact that we get so busy. Anybody in the room busy? Be real, okay? If you have kids today, you're busy, okay? I'll tell you that right now, okay? You got to get them to school on time, right? And those doggone middle school teachers just give homework after homework after homework after homework. Or maybe Daisy's just not doing it. I don't know which. But anyway, homework and homework. And then you have dance two nights a week. You got to do your. You get dance two nights a week. And then if you're Ryan, he has parkour. That's all the way over in Greenwood over by Midland, Texas. And so that's a night a week. You just got all the different things that are going on, and it just sort of builds up. And so maybe by the time you get where you can say, I can do something of this nature, you're just tired, too tired to do it. Amen? Ever been there? God says we have a great responsibility. And so our responsibility is simply this. By reading that passage, the first thing our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, is to be faithful to God. Has God been faithful to you and I? Boy, He has, hasn't He? You know, I think for Christians, I think our first thought when we open our eyes up in the morning, whatever time that may be, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., whatever that time is, our first thought better be, God, thank You for saving me. You are faithful to me. We understand that this morning, how big God is to us and faithful to us. Do you realize God could have said, you know what? Y'all don't deserve my love. I'm not going to send Jesus. He could have said that, amen? He could have easily done that. We don't deserve it. Romans 5:8, one of my favorite scripture, basically says, even while we were messing up and even while we were sinning, even while we were doing all these wrong things, Christ still died for us. God could have said, I don't think so. Not my son, not my gift, not my cherished treasure. I'm not going to give that for you. But God, in His grace and His mercy, He was faithful to Mark, and He was faithful to George, and He was faithful to Kelly, and He's faithful for every person in this room who believes in Him. God's faithful to us when we don't deserve it. And so our responsibility as in parents and grandparents is we better be faithful back to Him. Relationships are two ways, are they not? If they're going to work, they are. Amen? Scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You ever heard that? Anybody want to come scratch my back? I'm just kidding. That was my three qualifications for Kathy. Did y'all know that? When we got married. I know I'm getting sidetracked here, and she's like, why are you doing this? But she had to be a Christian. And that's borderline. I'm kidding. She had to be a Christian. Okay. She had to be able to cook. Okay. And she had to be able to scratch my back. And I mean, that's some deep theological truth right there. Amen? Okay, let's get back to the sermon. Okay, anyway. Being faithful to God. Why is it so important that we're faithful to God, church? Listen, because the little eyes that we're raising, the little eyes in your grandkids that you're spoiling, guess what? They are looking to us not only just to see us, but to find truth and to find answers and to life's questions and all the different things that are going on. And so if we're being faithful to God, guess what we're showing them? We're showing them God. That is our greatest responsibility, is to be faithful to God so that our children and grandchildren will look up at us and go, man, they're living for God. They're about God. Is that what they're saying in you? Don't answer that out loud. I listen to country music, some of my favorite country songs. Some of them are a little older than others, but... Some of the I forget who sings it, but it talks about a father and a son, and they're driving down the road, and the dad has to hit his brakes real hard, and the son, he blurps out a word that I'm not going to say up here because I'll hear about it later. And the dad's like, "Where'd you learn that word?" He's like, "From you." What are we teaching them? Are we being faithful to God, or are we being faithful to the world? They're watching. They're seeing those things. Okay? Our responsibility also is not only to be faithful to God, but to be an example of God in every avenue of our lives. Do we understand that? It's not just our job to be an example of God when we're here together, right? Is that right, church? When we come into this building, you are the church, okay? I am the church, you are the church. This is concrete, wood, fabric, pew. This is a building that we come in as our churches collectively together to worship Him. Are we being an example of Jesus Christ, not only in this building, but out here in the world? We better be. We better be. Because too many times what happens with Christians, especially in the American cultures, we come here and, well, I love Jesus and God is so good and I'll worship God and I'll do Bible study and I'll do this and I'll do that. And then we walk out the doors and we do a 180 and we look nothing like Him. We wonder, why are our children not getting it? Because they're going to imitate us. And where are they going to be an example of God? When they come to church, when they come to this building. Then they go to school and they're going to be something different. Because I'm just doing what mom and dad do. Grandma and granddad. We're to be an example of Jesus Christ. Not just in this building, but in our homes. You realize that your homes are a blessing from God? They are. It's a privilege. Your jobs, even if you don't like it, guess what? It is a blessing from God. God this morning says, listen, you're to be an example of me in all of these places to all people. The third thing is our responsibility is to train our children. Now, I'm not talking about taking them in the backyard and like run through tires and that kind of stuff, okay? If you want to do that, go for it, okay? But to train them, to teach them this book right here. Now, parents, listen, don't teach your children that this book is just a list of do's and don'ts, because it's not. You hear me? It's not. It's not this rigid idea that, okay, I can do this, 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 and this, but I better not do this, 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 and this. The Bible is so much more than that, amen? It's life and word is what it is. And we have the privilege and the opportunity to say, God, I can train my children this. I can teach them so that they can know this book. You know, one of the devotions we do on each night, it starts with a question, okay? It asks a question, then you've got to give an answer, A, B, C, D. And I'll be honest with you, some of the questions, this is written for kids, okay? Some of the questions, we've sort of been like, what's the answer to that one? You know, it's a good challenge. Training our children to know more than face value about our faith. Training our children to have a heart and a desire to worship God. I've shared in the past, that's my greatest prayer. My greatest prayer for Daisy and Ryan when they were younger before salvation was salvation. That's what I wanted. I wanted my children to know Jesus. I wanted them to come to the realization that they needed Jesus, that they had a need for Him, and they both have done that. But now my prayer for my children is that they will always have a heart for true worship. Not worship because of what a church sign says. Not worship because of what's in a room. But genuine worship that God puts in the Word. Biblical worship. I want them to always have the freedom to be expressing exactly what the Holy Spirit leads them to do. No constraints. We have to train our children up. Not on our opinions or our ideas, but on this right here. You hear me, church? Look at me. Train them in this. Now, I say that knowing how hard it is. Amen? You ever had to have a heart-to-heart with your kid? Some of the room are saying, yeah, about every other day. We can't do it in our strength, amen? Again, it goes back to a few weeks ago, what we learned on Sunday night, what I repeated on Sunday morning. At the point of salvation, the Holy Spirit fills us, amen? He indwells us, correct? Amen. I promise I'll wrap up if you follow me. He fills us with God Himself. The Holy Spirit is God, right? I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? It's amazing. But in that, He fills us and He gives us all those things that come with it, which is the strength, is the grace, is the mercy, is the wisdom. All those things are already within us. Not God. Oh, God, please give me the strength to make it through it. No, it's God, give me the ability to know the strength that you've already put in me to make it through it. It's already there. God is there. God is literally flowing out of you and I if we believe in Him. That's encouragement this morning. It better be. This morning, if you're sitting in the pew right now going, I don't have the strength to try to deal with this situation, if you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, you not only have the strength to deal with it, you have the strength to conquer it 10 times over. Train your children up and train them with the knowledge that if they believe in God, that the Holy Spirit, God Himself, has filled them up too. Listen, there's nothing they can't do. The world tells our kids, go dream your dreams, right? Here's a cool thing about our children. If they believe in God, they can not only dream them, they can fulfill them. And that's because of God and how great He is. The last responsibility we better be teaching our children, and maybe it shouldn't even be last, maybe it should be first, is we better be teaching them to be prayer warriors. Oh, how the church has abused prayer. Oh, let's pray before we eat. You know, growing up, I remember going to eat with people. I don't know if people still do that or not, but the last person to do this had to pray. You know, one who didn't really remember that. I don't know if that was a... We treat prayer cheaply. We better be teaching our children and our grandchildren that prayer, now we say prayer because that's our church word, but let's pull it down to what it really is, okay? Let's teach our kids and our grandkids to talk to God. Conversate with God. That's what prayer is, right? So let's put it on their terms. Talk to Him. Not just before a meal. Not just before a test. Not just before any of those things, a ball game or any of that kind of stuff. Let's teach our kids to be able to talk to God just the way that He is, which He is a friend, amen, to us. Let's teach our kids that when they're hurting, to take those hurts to who? God. See, we say that we have a relationship with God. Amen? All right? Would you say you have a relationship with God this morning? Okay, if that's the case then. in any other relationship that we have with one another, we take our joys, we take our pains, we take our hurts, we take our frustrations, do we not? If it's a genuine relationship, we do. And yet we say we have a relationship with God, and then we act like we can't tell God everything. Why is that? Of all the friends that we have, He's the one that already knows everything, amen? We're not fooling, right? We're not going to trick Him. So if that's the case and you're hurting or you're angry or you're bitter, He's the one person that you should be talking about those things with, and we better be teaching our children to do that, to value the power of prayer, because it says throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, I may add to you, that when we pray expectantly, God will always do what? Move. So we better be praying and teaching our kids that prayer is a powerful, valuable gift from Him. Now here's the cool thing about it. He wants to talk to us. Isn't that cool? Now I'm gonna wink at Travis, okay? Okay? And he's gonna go do something. But prayer is this unbelievable gift from an unbelievable God who looks at you and I and says, I love you so much. Not only am I going to show you mercy by giving my son, okay? But now I'm going to show you grace as well, because not only am I going to give you that, but now I'm just going to freely talk with you. I'm going to have conversation with you. I'm gonna have that opportunity with you. I think I've shared this story with you one time at my last church. I had a gentleman, a couple. They were really struggling with their son. Their son was a high school student, and he could not figure out how to make the right choices. Okay, he would make a good choice. He'd be on a path for good. You know, really have. And I mean not a long period of time either, 6-7 weeks, and then he would just do, you'd just scratch your head and go, what are you doing? And it was just continuous in our time there. And I remember one time his dad called me, and he was just sort of at that point of, if I don't talk to somebody else, I'm going to kill him. I mean that's where he was. And some of y'all in the room probably have been there, okay? And we know we didn't need that on our hands, amen, okay? So I did. I went over to their home. They lived about a mile from me and Kathy, and I went to their home, and we were just talking there, and I could just tell, I could sense that, okay, this is one of these situations where I need to get him out of the house. So I said, okay, I'm not going to say his name, but I said, come on, let's go get in the truck. And so we went and got in the truck, and you know, he's crying, and he's just heartbroken, he's so frustrated, he's so angry, and he loves his son, okay? In that moment, something came over me and said, okay, well, he just needs to not talk to me, but he needs to talk to God. I'm not God. Far from it. So we drove the mile, and we went back to the church, and I said, Johnny, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I just said his name, didn't I? I'm sorry. And I said, I'm going to stay back here, and I want you going up there to what we in the church call the steps or the altar. Go to the altar. But I want you to talk to God. Don't do some church coin prayer. Don't do that. I want you to be real. You're hurting. You're broken. You're so sad right now for your son. You're at your wit's end, and you're frustrated, and you're angry, and you're just broken. You can talk to me till you're blue in the face, and I'm really not going to be able to give you real good wisdom, but God can. So I just stood in the back of the church and sat down on one of the back rows, and he went and he got on his knees. And for quite some time, Johnny just had a conversation with God. And he yelled and he screamed and he punched that stage. It was probably the most genuine prayer I've ever heard in ministry. And he just communed with God, even in his bitterness and his anger and his frustration, his confusion. And I wish I could say that have a dramatic end to that story, but I can't, because his son would do a little bit of good and then he would do something dumb again. But I tell you that story because prayer is so much more than just saying, I'm going to talk to God. No, I'm going to commune with God. If I'm angry and frustrated, doggone it, I'm going to let it out because God already knows it's there. Amen. He wants us to do that with Him. That's a relationship. I guarantee you, He left that night with a whole lot of weight just taken off, because He spent that moments or those times with Him. I'm going to pray right now this morning, though, and then I'm going to have the Snyder family come up here and with me, and we're going to have a time of dedication for the boys. Now, in the past, in churches, I've done what we call baby dedications. I don't think they've, from my understanding, have not been done maybe out this way. This is not a baptism. I understand that right now. I do not have holy water. I'm not going to whip it out and start sprinkling. Okay. I've had priests give me holy water. It's in my office if you ever need a drink. Okay. Nothing that. No, this is simply an opportunity for us today, for all three of the boys, to just say, God, I'm dedicating myself. Caitlin and Travis, I'm dedicating ourselves to teaching these boys God. But it's also a chance for us in this room. Now, when we come to this building, okay, what we're saying is that we are a body of believers, a body of little churches, amen, and we're here to encourage one another, we're here to sharpen one another, we're here to challenge one another, but we're also here to help one another. It's becoming harder and harder and harder to raise children in Christian values in this world. So we need one another. Nothing better for a dad to see somebody pouring into my son or my daughter the Bible or God's love. And that could be from any one of y'all. That's a blessing to me. I pray that's what we do in return. So I'm going to ask them to come.